Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, September 25th, 7:45 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, Laura Morton. She's a nutrition educator with St. Louis District Dairy Council. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us, and welcome to Worldwide KFUO. This is your first time visiting with us, so glad to have you with us. Fairly new to St. Louis District Dairy Council as well.
True.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you love about being a nutrition educator.
Well, I am very new. I've been here for about a month now, so I'm just getting a feel for things. But I grew up on a farm in Illinois, so with vegetables and farm animals and everything, I formed a close connection with food.
Yeah.
So that's what started me here on my journey. And now I get to share it with others.
I have a close connection with food, too. It's really a love-hate relationship.
But I think that's true for a lot of people.
We won't go into great details about that. I love food. So being a nutrition educator, what does that mean? What do you do as a nutrition educator? And you're probably still figuring that out, too,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, I am. But so the basically what we do is a lot of education in schools and in the media to the community. And in schools, we provide nutrition education materials and really just form a great foundation for education.
Why is it important to be in schools? Why is it important for children to learn about nutrition?
Oh, it's so important. And a lot of schools don't teach nutrition education necessarily, so it might be important for them to learn it at home. But it's very important to start early so they can understand the connection between food and nutrition with overall health.
Sure. And that's you bring up a good point. Food and nutrition go hand in hand. There are some who know, especially some dietitians and folks with a background in nutrition who know nutrition, but don't necessarily know food. And food and nutrition go hand in hand. You got to know good food in order for people to... you can know nutrition, but not really know about good food. Like what's going to get people to eat good food, you know, to get the nutrition that they need.
Right.
So knowing those, putting those two together is important. And for children, even more important that we build this foundation early on, that they learn this foundation early on. So what are some of the things you do in schools to help children learn about nutrition?
Well, mostly what we do is a teach the teacher approach. So we offer really great materials for teachers and coaches and anybody in the school environment that they can pass on to their students and fit in however they see fit.
What are some of the issues that children face today when it comes to nutrition? In addition to building that foundation, childhood obesity seems to be an issue today, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. And I think most people are aware that obesity is an issue in our nation, but some people may not be as aware that it also affects children. So that makes it a kind of a more shocking problem.
How do we go about dealing with childhood obesity? I guess prevention is one of the first steps, right?
Yes. And it all goes back to nutrition education in childhood. And there are a lot of things that you can do at home to help prevent childhood obesity, one of which is modeling good eating behavior.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, no good foods and bad foods, kind of anything in moderation. And something that's really important is knowing where your food comes from. So a lot of children might not know, you know, that milk comes from a cow on a dairy farm, or that fruits and vegetables, actually, you can grow them in your own home. So it's important to form that connection with food at its root.
I like that idea. I mean, where we have come as a culture and a society, we're certainly a culture of consumers more than producers today than we were, say, 60 years ago. We were probably more so producers than consumers. But today we're consumers and we don't necessarily know where things come from. There is this huge disconnect. So taking time to learn where those things come from, that milk comes from cows, vegetables from a garden, and practicing some of that at home. Now, if you live in, you know, a neighborhood or a subdivision, it's probably kind of hard to have a cow in the backyard.
Yes.
So we got to rely on our friends, our dairy farmers for milk. But certainly you can grow some vegetables, some herbs and things like that at home and help children understand where those things come from. That's important.
Definitely is.
Okay, so learning where food comes from is certainly one way of helping us fight and prevent childhood obesity. And that's part of nutrition education. Any other tips?
Well, a huge thing with childhood obesity is the types of food that are not only available to children, but sometimes marketed specifically to children. And these include generally foods that are high in sugar and low in other nutrients, like really sugary cereals, those little snack cakes that you pack in your school lunch, sugary fruit drinks, sports drinks, and soda is a big one. So soda is a huge provider of empty calories. So what that means is for the calories that you're getting, you're not getting anything beneficial out of it other than carbohydrates from sugar. So choosing nutrient-dense options like a glass of milk, which you're getting calories out of it, yes, but you're also getting 9 essential nutrients, protein, calcium, and then some healthy fats to help you keep feeling fuller longer. There's so many more benefits to choosing nutrient-dense foods over, you know, things that just offer sugar.
And you know, with the weather starting to cool off, now I know the next few days are going to be kind of warm, but with the weather cooling off, I'd say usually once we have about probably about a week of evenings that get down in the 50s, that's when it becomes hot cocoa weather in our household.
Yes, and you got to make the cocoa with milk, not water.
Oh, yes. And I don't know, are you a fan of hot cocoa? Are you a hot cocoa drinker?
Definitely.
How do you make your hot cocoa?
I make my hot cocoa with milk, for sure. Sometimes I'll use 2% milk and the chocolate sauce, or sometimes I'll do, if I'm feeling a little bit lighter, skim milk and the powdered packet. I mean, you're getting all the nutrients from milk. You're just adding a little bit of flavor. So nothing to be afraid of there.
Sure, sure. We do, we'll use milk, and depending on how we're feeling, sometimes it's whole milk, sometimes it's like 2% or somewhere around there. And we'll add just regular like baking cocoa, the powdered kind, and then we'll sweeten it with like stevia or something like that,
yeah,
so that we're not adding
a
lot of calories with the sugar. And you got to do it on the stove and keep stirring it so that it doesn't have all the lumps in it. But man, it sure does taste good.
Oh yes, looking forward to that.
Now the indulgent way to top it off is with real homemade whipped cream.
I agree with that.
We'll take real whipping cream and add some like agave or something like that in it to sweeten it and put it in one of those I don't know what they're called. It's a whipped cream canister type
thing. You own one of those? That's awesome.
Did I just confess that out loud on the air? Yeah, there's a neat little shop, one of those kitchen stores here in town that has those. You charge it with one of those CO2 cartridges, and it makes whipped cream.
Yeah.
That's when we're feeling really indulgent. That's usually closer to like Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that.
Yes, got to go with the real whipped cream over the Cool Whip type stuff.
Or any day ending in Y. So that's really, you know, a special occasion for us to have whipped cream and the hot cocoa. All right, so that's indulgent, though. That's the high fat stuff. Other things, we're talking about childhood, battling childhood obesity. Any other tips or snack ideas that you want to share today to help us with that? You were talking about, you know, avoiding those sugary foods and especially sugary drinks. Any good choices that you might recommend?
Yes. Well, convenience often trumps, you know, nutrition in a lot of cases. So it's important to kind of arm yourself with some good recipes, some go-to snacks that are healthy and always ready to go, so kids don't have to do too much preparation to get to them. So I have a quick recipe here for baked mozzarella sticks, and this is a great after-school recipe. It's got some protein, calcium, so it's something that could keep the kids full from right after school until dinner. So all you're going to need is a 12-ounce package of mozzarella string cheese sticks, an egg, some Italian seasoning, and some breadcrumbs, and then some marinara sauce to dip it in. So you're just going to dip the cheese sticks in the egg, sprinkle with Italian seasoning and breadcrumbs, and bake at 350, and then you'll have some of those gooey, crispy, deep-fried tasting cheese sticks.
Now, if I do this, am I going to end up with like big old puddles of mozzarella
cheese? Sometimes you might.
I mean, it'll still taste just as good.
Yes. I've actually done this before, and the more breadcrumbs, the sturdier it is.
Okay.
Sometimes you do end up with a puddle of cheese, but I've never complained about that before. Just push it back, and it's just as delicious.
I wonder if you could put it in like some of those forms, the cookie or candy molds or something like that. I wonder if it would melt into those into funny shapes. That would be interesting.
You probably could do that.
So mozzarella string cheese, an egg, Italian seasoning, and breadcrumbs, and just dip the
dip
cheese
in marinara.
in the egg, and then roll it in the seasoning and breadcrumbs. Bake them at 350 for until they're any certain amount of time, or until
I would keep an eye on it, but yeah. It's probably only going to take a few minutes, 5 minutes or so.
And then dip them in warm marinara sauce. Mm, that sounds great. Thanks. Now I'm hungry. It always happens when my friends from the Dairy Council come to visit.
Well, good.
Always leaves me hungry. Cheese sticks. That's baked mozzarella cheese sticks. Sounds like a great tip. Well, and like you said, doing stuff like this, you know, something that's as simple as that then provides a healthy snack that can help us avoid things like childhood obesity.
Right, right.
So what are some of your favorite healthy snacks aside from the baked mozzarella sticks? We've talked about hot cocoa. We've talked about mozzarella sticks. Anything else that are some of your favorite snacks?
Well, I'm a huge fan of fresh fruit, and I think that's something that's pretty kid-friendly, too.
Sure.
I also am a fan of fresh vegetables, which are less kid-friendly, so always pair them with some dips.
Yeah.
There are now some great Greek yogurt-based dips.
Oh, great.
They taste like ranch or... Like they have some Southwest flavors, but they make a great dip for vegetables, whole grain crackers and hummus, old school crackers and cheese.
Yeah.
It's filling and delicious. Chips and salsa. Really, the possibilities are endless.
Great. I'm going to have to take a break now because I'm hungry. I'm just
Me
kidding.
Too.
Well, how can our listeners find out more about, find some of these ideas and other tips for good nutrition? And how can they find out more about the Dairy Council, St. Louis District Dairy Council?
You could visit our website at www.stldairycouncil.org or also find us on Facebook at STL Dairy Council with no spaces.
All right, very good. Both easy to find, stldairycouncil.org, or you can go to facebook.com/St. Louis Dairy Council, I believe it is. Is that right?
Yes, STL Dairy Council.
STL Dairy Council on Facebook. You can check it out. Laura, nice to meet you and to spend some time with you talking about our just nutrition, education, all those important things, and look forward to our future conversations as well.
Thank you so much.
It's good to get to spend some time with you. I'm going to go find some cheese sticks. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Eddie Sheeler from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Decatur, Alabama. We're going to get into Matthew chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 17. Hope you can join us for that conversation, listeners. And that's coming up right after AP Radio News and the weather on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.